with a shout, with a leap. Join me as we welcome Apostle Joshua Selmo.
Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Just a moment. Thank you so much. First and foremost, I just want you to know that I am honored to be here. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me just have your attention for a moment. I'm honored to be here. And I believe that every time the Lord allows us to show up, it is because He desires that His name be lifted and His name be glorified. Amen. And I'd like us to honor, there are several servants of God, men and women of God in this place. And we must do well to give them that honor. And let me start with our bishop himself and the dear wife. Let's honor him, the Bishop of Caravan. Hallelujah. And I may not know everyone here, but the Lord bless you. And then my venerable from Onitsha, we were with him a few weeks ago. I love you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And surprisingly, for the first time, I was told the bishop from my very place of origin is even here himself. God bless you. Truly honored. It was a pleasant surprise. So my honor to everyone, man, woman of God here, bishops, venerables, reverends, pastors, leaders, the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We're here tonight to see Jesus lifted. We're here tonight to see burdens also lifted. We are here tonight to see the glory of God revealed. And so in 1 minute, I like you wherever you are, so many people outside, passionately lift your voice and call upon the God of heaven. Give us a visitation tonight. Go ahead and pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Are you praying?
Babu wani kamar da kai, Babu wani kamar da kai, Babu wani kamar da kai.
It's a declaration.
Babu wani kamar da kai, me girma, me girma, me girma, me girma, me mulki, me iko, me girma. Babu wani kamar da kai.
Listen to what you are singing.
Babu wani kamar da kai.
One more time.
Me girma, me girma, me girma.
This is our declaration, O God, coming from hearts that mean what we say. You are marvelous. You are great. Even over Jalingo, over Taraba, over the northeast. And we have come as the body of Christ to declare your lordship once again. To let principalities and powers know that Jesus is still alive over Jalingo. Jesus is still alive over Taraba.
Let every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Till there's only you. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Ah. Let every other name fade away. We declare tonight. Let every other name fade away. Until there's only you. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, take your place. Jesus, have your way.
This is our prayer tonight.
Jesus, take your place. Let every other name fade away.
Every sickness has a name.
Let every other name fade away. Till there's only you. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take your place.
When we spend time worshiping like this, we are not wasting time. There is nothing we can do until His manifest presence is made visible in our midst. And so when we call Him in worship, it is because we intend to see Him show up. It is no religion. We worship You, O God. Hallelujah. Bless our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Praise the Lord. Please be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Tonight, the Lord put a very as we attempt to discuss the subject of God's glory, the Lord impressed in my heart to share a message that I think is beginning to fade. Why, I may not exactly know, but this message that you are about to hear tonight is truly the secret of experiencing the manifold power of God in the midst of God's people. This is a message that has brought salvation to many. This is a message that continues to bring hope and healing. We teach about things, we preach about things, and there is nothing wrong with that, except that if our teaching and our preaching does not capture Jesus, who is the epicenter of the gospel and the epicenter of the Christian experience, then we will find out that in the midst of our communication, there will be no performance, there will be no endorsement to the things that we communicate. As I began to study, preparing for this meeting, again the subject of God's glory, even before we begin to talk about the latter glory, the greater glory, the very subject of God's glory. You see, the glory of a thing is an attempt to describe the worth, an attempt to describe the value of that person or that thing. Are we together? When you buy a product, usually to justify the price tag that was put on it, they would give you a little brief and an explanation. Why is this so expensive? If you go to an expensive restaurant and they tell you the meal is a price that is very, very high, they would attempt to justify it by telling you that it was difficult to source the ingredients. It's an attempt to help you see the value. So whenever we talk about the glory of God, we're not necessarily talking about the smoke that comes, the clouds, and all of the expressions of that glory. They are mere expressions or manifestations of the glory. The glory of God is a capture, is a representation of the worth, everything that makes God God is His glory. Everything. So His wisdom is an expression of His glory. His power is an expression of His glory. Are we together now? For you to examine the glory of God, you would have to examine every attribute that makes God God without missing any. So you see how difficult it is to delve into the subject of God's glory, because it is His love, His wisdom, His power, His deliverance, everything together is what we call the glory of God. When Moses said, "If I have found grace in your sight, show me your glory," Moses did not know what he was asking for. It was a very difficult question. You're saying I should show you all of me. You can't even survive it. But let me choose an aspect of my glory called my goodness and allow it to pass by you. And Moses, it was the revelation of the goodness of God as an aspect of His glory that birthed the five books of Moses. Just one dimension of God's glory. Are we together now? But that is not the only dimension. So every time we are gathered like this, God seeks for different aspects of His glory to find expression. When the word of God is communicated with power, it is the wisdom of God, an aspect of His glory. And remember, it is by the wisdom of God that principalities and powers recognize the all-surpassing excellence of the church. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul was teaching the church in Ephesus, and he says, "To the intent that now unto principalities and powers might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." When the sick begin to get healed and the oppressed delivered, it is more than just an endorsement to the credibility of a man of God. It's a manifestation of the glory of God. Everything that makes God God is a representation of His glory. And the way God operates, listen carefully, is that because He reveals Himself dimensionally to men, men cannot know all of God at once. In fact, till eternity, we will not exhaust the knowledge of God. The one thing that will continue even in heaven is learning. Even in our perfected state, we'll continue to learn God. Are we together now? Yes. The 420 elders cried and they say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, who was, who is," and yet there is still a dimension to come. Are we together now? So I'm just trying to give us an idea of the glory of God. That when we talk about the glory of God, we mean an expression of everything that makes God God. And the way God dealt with the nation of Israel was that every time he revealed a dimension of his glory, they preserved that dimension in a... So if they saw him move as a provider, they captured that dimension in the name Jireh, so that every time they want to see him show up again as a provider, they will invoke Jireh. Are you getting the point now? So all of the names of God, Sikenu, Rapha, were all expressions of his glory that were captured in names. So that when you are learning God, one of the ways that you know him is by knowing his names. His names capture different possibilities of what he can do. Are we following now? So if you want healing, then you would not call Nisi. It's still the same God, but the expression of Nisi is not as a healer. Every time you called him Rapha, he would not come as a provider, he would come as a healer. Are we together now? Way make, miracle walk, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. All of this, but different dimensions. Way make, miracle walk, promise keep, my God. Na dauka ka sunan ka Ubangiji ka isayabo Na girmama sunan ka Ubangiji Ni na dauka ka sunan ka Ubangiji ka isayabo Na girmama sunan ka Ubangiji. So when you are lost and you want to see the dimension of God that brings salvation, you call him Savior. He comes as a Savior. When you are stranded and you want to experience him as a deliverer, there is a name he is called. This is the basic understanding of the glory of God. So the more you know him, the more you understand the implication of those names, the more you are able to truly understand the glory of God and how to walk in the reality of the glory of God. But here is where it gets interesting. When we get to John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible begins to give us a very interesting expression. It says, in the beginning was the Word. All other synoptic accounts, theologically speaking, capture, they start their discourse either from a historic standpoint or from a sociological standpoint or from the manifestation of miracles. It was only Apostle John who traced the discourse from the divinity of Christ. Are we together now? So in the beginning, he says, was the Word. And he says that Word was with God, and that Word was God. Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now here is where it becomes interesting. It says, all things were made by him. Hold on. And without him, that means outside of his influence, was not anything made that was made. John is introducing something very interesting. Because while we study Rapha and Jireh, even though the same person, but we have to study in fragments. John is about to introduce somebody who is an embodiment of every one of those dimensions. Are you getting it now? If you have headache, they recommend Panadol. If you have malaria, they recommend a malaria drug. You may not take a malaria drug for tuberculosis, for instance. Are we together? But they are all drugs. But here is John about to say there is a drug that if you swallow, just leave the drug to decide what to do. But regardless what the problem is, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. This is very strange. John wants to save us the burden. What kind of a drug is this that is able? What he's trying to say is that, I'm just using a pharmaceutical expression to explain this. That instead of running to go and look for malaria drug, then running again to look for a drug for typhoid, running again to look for a drug for this, there is one central drug that he wants to introduce. Are we together now? The Bible says by him, verse 3 now, it says without him was not anything made that was made. This him now, until now, we don't know the name. In him, whoever that him is, was life. We are investigating that him now. And the life was the light of man. Verse 5. The light shines in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 6. Then it says there was a man sent from God. We know God. We know the man who was sent, but who is the him? Who is this him we are talking about? We are talking about those who are advocating for the him. We are talking about the God who sends the him, but who is that him? The same came for a witness, to bear witness to the light. Whoever that him is, we know that he is light, that all men through him might believe. We'll find somewhere to stop. And John confessed that he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. Please pay attention. It says that was the true light that lighted every man that cometh to the world. It says he was in the world, and although the world was made by him, the world did not know him. So are you following John's discussion? John is introducing someone who the world needs. He is in their midst, and yet they have not sustained the intelligence to find out the importance of this him. Whoever that him is, he even came to his own, and his own received him not. But there are a few. He said, as many, whoever pays the price to investigate that him and really get to know him, there is a reward for that pursuit, that he gave them power. So whoever that him is, he can make men sons of God. And then the second information here is that him is not nameless. He has a name. That him has a name. That him has a name. Verse 12. Just keep verse 12. Please follow me carefully. But as many as received him, to them he gave power. So whoever that him is, he has power and he can give men. Are you getting this now? We are researching this him because, so that there is no confusion, this him has been interpreted as many things to many people. At least we are yet to find the name that was given to this him. But there are attributes. We know that number one, he is light. John told us. Number two, that all things cannot be made out of his influence. Number three, that him has power, and that he is benevolent enough, he can give men. And number four, that this him is so powerful, he is able to make ordinary men become sons of God. And then he tells us that this him has a name. He is not nameless. He has a name. And that men can believe on that name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you,
which was also in Christ Jesus. So we see that this hymn has a name. His name is Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Anointed. Now follow, next verse. The Bible says, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God? 7, but made himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, now we see, God has so highly exalted our him again. He exalted him and gave him a name. Now the Bible gives us more expressions about that name. That name is above every name. And at the mention of the name of Jesus, so we know that the him is Jesus. But the name that was given to him was not Jesus. We're getting there. It was not God. Listen carefully. Jesus was a name that was given to him when he became a man. His name from the foundations of the earth was not Jesus. At his coronation, it was not Jesus that was given to him. He was already called Jesus even before he died. The name that every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, remember Christ Jesus, that a name has been given to him, and the name is Lord. That is the office that was given to him at his coronation. Jesus has become Lord. Is that true now? And the Bible says this is to the glory of God the Father. That means everything connected to that name is related to the glory of the Father. Everything at all that has to do with that name is connected to the glory of the Father. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, according to scripture, the Bible tells us that Jesus, write this down if you're writing, Jesus is the ultimate revelation, number one, of the Father. The ultimate revelation of the Father is Jesus. And then number two, that he is the physical expression of the glory of God. We're examining Jesus and reintroducing him, that he is the ultimate revelation of the Father and also the physical expression of the glory of God. That means if you are searching for the glory of God more than handpicking dimensions that were captured in his name, when you find Jesus, you have found the clearest and most concise and complete expression of the glory of God. Jesus is not only a revelation of the Father, Jesus is the most concise capture of the glory of God. Are we together now? In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13, Jesus began a very interesting discussion that led to the foundation of what today we know to be the church. Why am I teaching this? Listen, no matter what else we teach, no matter what else we do, if believers and the body of Christ does not return to this foundational understanding of Jesus as the epicenter of the Christian faith, then we will never experience the power of God. We will never experience the glory of God. You cannot preach the gospel in isolation to Jesus. You cannot work miracles in isolation to Jesus. In fact, you cannot talk about the Holy Spirit in isolation to Jesus, because the Holy Spirit himself will tell you that he came to reveal Jesus. This is the reason why he has refused to reveal a form to himself, because his assignment is to reveal Jesus. Are we together now? Jesus, the mystery behind salvation, the mystery behind the miraculous, the mystery behind the growth of the church. Gradually, we may have found ourselves sincerely replacing Jesus with words like breakthrough, healing, deliverance. They are not wrong in themselves. Imagine that you stop talking about me and focus on talking about my shoe, my wristwatch. You teach series about my wristwatch, and I'm there watching you. You teach another series about my shoes, where I bought it, how long lasting that shoe is. And then when you are done with that sermon, you say, Apostle, just to let you know I love you. And yet you spend hours talking about my shoes. Then you spoke about my watch. Then you spoke about my dress. You even went to talk about my relatives. You spoke about my tailor. You spoke about everything. You spoke about the pulpit. And at the end of it, they ask you, who is this man you are talking about? And you say, well, I don't know him, but I know his shoes. I don't know him, but I know he has a hand. I don't know this man, but one thing I know is that he can speak very loud. I don't know him, but I know he's a man of integrity. But who is he? I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you, Lord. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you, Lord. We pack crusade grounds filled, and we talk about a God we do not know. We write books in volumes, and we attempt to talk about a God we do not know. We stand before the sick, and we command them to rise in the name of a God that we do not know. Yes, we know he's kind, but kindness is not him. Kindness is what he does. Listen. We talk about the Bible. The Bible is an expression of his thoughts, but even the Bible is not him. My books are not me. They are an expression of my thoughts, but they are not me. You can know about me by studying my materials, but you know me by meeting me. Please pay attention tonight. This is the missing ingredient behind the manifestation of the power of God to change lives and to change territories. When Jesus becomes a minor topic, and when Jesus becomes isolated from our sermons, from our Christian experience, no matter how matured, no matter the Greek and the Hebrew words, no matter the Latin words, it will not sustain the power to save, to transform, to lift, and to change territories. Are we blessed? This is the reason why you find out that it looks as though God does not want to make his power available. We fast 40 days, profitable. We study scripture, many times, respectfully speaking, from a religious standpoint. And yet we see that the corresponding power the Bible said should follow the gospel is not there. My assignment tonight, as we attempt to introduce the glory of God, is to reintroduce Jesus. Who is he? Because for many people, Jesus is a messenger. For many people, Jesus is the founder of a religion called Christianity, with about 2.6 billion followers that we know now, a contender with other gods. For others, Jesus is a mystery. For others, Jesus is a Jew who had moral excellence, who walked upon the earth. We will lose a generation and we will lose our territories if we do not preserve the revelation of Jesus. We can preserve the revelation of breakthroughs and miracles and signs and wonders. And we experience a lot of that. But our children must know Jesus first before all the things that come from him. You would think what I'm saying is so simple and basic. Summon an average believer, random pick them, regardless denominations, and ask them, who is Jesus? And sit back and be prepared to shed tears. Gather men and women of God and tell them, who is Jesus? I will show you from scripture, Matthew 16. At this time, the disciples had been with Jesus for at least 3 years. I hope you know that. They had witnessed miracles. So they were not people who were ignorant. They had seen the power of God. By this time, they had seen bread multiply. By this time, they had seen Lazarus back to life. By this time, they had seen all kinds of manifestations. Almost everything we will look for, they saw it. And yet they did not know the person who was behind it. You would think that proximity to Jesus means you know him. You can be in church, you can be an elder, you can even be a man of God. You can be trained in a Bible school, respectfully speaking. But the question is, do you know him? Jesus became concerned himself because those who would later become the apostles of the Lamb, they were around him. They knew the location to his crusade grounds. They knew how his miracles would happen. In fact, they even attempted the miracles themselves. But the master is about to speak. Are we together, Jalingo? When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples. Is that what the Bible says? No. He said he asked his disciples. So he himself acknowledged that they were his students. And he asked them a simple question. Not, do you understand my lectures? Not, have you seen me walk in power? He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he folded his arms and was allowing his disciples. These are the guys that preach. These are the guys that go to the crusade grounds. He's saying, who do men say that I am? And Jesus touched a sensitive topic. And they said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are even Jeremiah. In fact, one said you are one of those prophets. And Jesus was still watching. He said, all right, I have heard their opinion, but you are my disciples. Who do you say? We slept together, we woke up together, you saw me calm the storm. What is your verdict about me? And every single one of them was quiet. I went to the crusade ground. I saw the sick healed, maybe even through my hands. I escorted Jesus as a protocol officer. I helped to read the hymns. I helped to play keyboard for him. And now he's asking, who am I? And every one of them kept quiet. I respect their honesty to be quiet. Their quietness was a language. He said, Jesus, we do not know you. It has been a secret contemplation in our hearts that we have been doing ministry for a very long time. But we are not ashamed that even though we are your disciples, if we need to go back to the school of the Spirit again, it is better so we stop telling ourselves lies. Jesus, introduce yourself to us. And Peter answered and said, I know who thou art. He never called him Jesus. He says, I know who thou art. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here's what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for the knowledge of me does not abound in the realm of flesh and blood. You cannot use flesh and blood to know me. The knowledge of me is higher than the realm of flesh and blood. He says, flesh and blood had not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, listen. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this understanding that you have, that is what I am going to build my church. That means my church will never be effective if they ignore this foundation. Upon this foundation, the foundation was not Peter. The foundation was this understanding. Upon this entire discussion, that the victory of the church depends on their revelation of who I am. If the church fails to understand who I am, the gates of hell will inevitably. So the secret to the architecture and the dexterity of the church, the secret to the formidability of the church, is not just prayer, is not just fasting, is not just religious Bible study, is the conviction of our knowledge of Jesus. This is what gives us audacity to speak to principalities and powers. This is what gives us audacity. Here's what Paul said: I know whom I have believed. I didn't just believe him, I know him. Please sit down. Please pay attention. Don't be distracted. God is speaking to our hearts. John chapter 17 and verse 3. I want everybody to read it with me when it's projected, and you can see it if you're a Christian. Ready to read? 1, 2, read. This is God's definition of eternal life. That the administration of eternal life is predicated upon this. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. To know Jesus whom the Father sent is eternal life. Hallelujah. So he asked them a question that I want to ask us right now. I do not ask us because we are ineffective. No. I ask us to challenge us to press into deeper levels in God. Because you will find out that most of the things that we seek for truly can be found when we know him. Hallelujah. Who is Jesus? I'll use a few minutes to reintroduce Jesus based on the authority of Scripture. There are four biblical ways to know God. Four biblical ways to know God. Number one, the first way we know God is through Scripture. We know God through Scripture. You have to understand this. That means if you want anyone to know about God, if you give him the Bible in partnership with the ministry of the Holy Spirit can help a man know God. Number two, the second way we know God is through the revelation of his names. Captured, like I said earlier, captured in the names of God are different expressions of him. I can learn God by learning his names. It is through his names I know that he heals. The knowledge of Scripture gives us a revelation of God's character and his modus operandi. Scripture helps us to know how God behaves so that you can know that this is not how God behaves. Are we together now? And then the names of God help us to understand the possibilities that are in God. Number three, the third way we know God according to Scripture is through the person Jesus Christ. Now, please look up. Let me explain something before we go into the discussion very briefly tonight. Until Jesus showed up, no one had ever seen God in that concise expression. Are we together now? And the Old Testament saints, alongside the prophets, because of a mix of Judaism, other religion and their different expressions of the worship of Yahweh, many of them mix their knowledge of God together with other practices. So you would find a lot of confusion when you study the Old Testament. You would see true prophets dabble into things they should not dabble into. Is that true? Many people attributed so many things to God that he had no hand in. So Jesus came as a marking script. He came as a reference point so that whatever you thought you knew about God, you would look at the life of Jesus and start editing your understanding about God. Jesus did not just come to show us the way. He came as God's manual to learn him, so that everything you did not see captured in the life of Jesus was, even if you thought that was how God was, you would have to correct yourself. He didn't just come to die. He came as the express image of the invisible God. Hallelujah. And then the fourth way that we know God according to scripture is through our experiences. There is a dimension of the revelation of God that is captured in our experiences. I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, Job said, but now my eye seeth thee. Are we together? So who is Jesus? Let me give us a few revelations that the Bible says about Jesus, this Jesus that we talk about. Number one, according to John chapter 1 and verse 1, Jesus is God. Please pay attention. Inside, outside, we're going to pray shortly. But before you open up your heart to witness miracles, signs, and wonders, it's important that the city of Jalingo, Taraba State, by extension, the Northeast, that we reintroduce as the body of Christ, Jesus. We bring him back as the epicenter of everything that we do and everything church. Because in isolation to Jesus, there is no gospel, there is no victory, there is no power, there is no salvation. Are we still in agreement? So Jesus is God according to scripture. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that Jesus is God. Another scripture, John chapter 1 verse 18. Let's walk through scripture. John chapter 1 verse 18. It says, no man had seen God at any time. Only the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So only Jesus came as an expression of God according to this scripture. John chapter 10, please, and verse 30. Please write these scriptures down. We must return to doctrine. We must return to theological soundness if we want to see the power of God, and if we want to see a generation preserved with exactitude of kingdom understanding. Otherwise, there will be many opinions called Christianity. And the danger is that eventually people will begin to diverge from Jesus Christ into many other pseudo-Christian practices. John chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus himself showed us his oneness with the Father when he said, I and my Father are one. Very clearly from scripture. John 17 and verse 21. John 17 and verse 21. Please be patient with me. John chapter 17 and verse 21. That they all may be one, he says, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus is saying, you are in me, I am in you, we are inseparable. Jesus is God. Who is Jesus? Revelations chapter 1. One of the most concise revelations of Jesus you would have noticed now from the gospel, it was the gospel of John. Is that true? And now John again is continuing his revelation of Jesus in the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. So who gave John the revelation of Jesus? John did not just guess. We can trust what John is saying because the Bible says that revelation came from God. Just like Paul. It was not only Paul who had revelation from God. John the beloved also had revelation from God. In fact, he had duality of advantage because number one, he walked with Jesus in the flesh. And then by the Spirit, God now revealed to him. So we can trust what we are learning about God. Are we following now? Right, so Revelations 1 verse 1. My screen is off. Okay, let me open my Bible very quickly. It says the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must come to pass shortly. And he sent it and signified it by his angel. Jump to verse 4, please. Please follow very carefully. He's writing to the seven churches. Please look up. Theologically speaking, the seven churches talk about all of the churches that were scattered in the then world across Asia Minor. Is that true? But prophetically speaking, he was speaking to the Catholic Church, the universal church now. Is that true? Yes. So John was not just speaking to seven physical churches alone. Prophetically, he was speaking to the universal church. Is that true? Now, he says, the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was. Who is the him now? You see that? He's bringing them greetings, which is to come. And from the seven spirits which were from before the throne. Pay attention now. And from Jesus Christ. And he begins to give us six expressions, six revelations of Jesus according to John. Number one, he is the faithful witness. Jesus, in addition to being God, is the faithful witness. Who is Jesus? The faithful witness. How did he demonstrate he was a faithful witness? Matthew chapter 8. And then we'll return back. This will be our text for the remaining part of the discussion. But let's flip very quickly to Matthew chapter 8 from verse 16. When Jesus walked upon the earth, he was a faithful witness. Who is a witness? A witness is a validator of a claim. The assignment of a witness is to create conviction. Is that true? So the Bible calls him a faithful witness, that he walked upon the earth and forced men to believe that there was God. How did he do it? When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled of that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So he came as a witness to show that Jesus is able to love, Jesus is able to heal, Jesus is able to deliver. Jesus is a faithful, the faithful witness. Do you know why this is important? Because this is the man the Bible says we should follow and become. If Jesus was the faithful witness, that means you are not becoming a true expression of Jesus until this dimension of being a faithful witness is also captured in your experience. Everything Jesus did that validated that he was a faithful witness, it must be captured in your Christian experience for you to truly be called a witness. If Jesus healed, if Jesus casted out devils, if Jesus preached the gospel, for him to be called a faithful witness, then this must be a reality in your own life too. Matthew chapter 10, please, and verse 8. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8. Let's start from verse 7. Having mentored the disciples, he was about to send them, and he told them, as ye go, he's teaching them to be witnesses now. Preach. So a true witness preaches. And this is the content of his gospel. The kingdom of heaven is within your reach, is at hand. Demonstrate the reality of kingdom come by healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils, and giving freely What things would you give freely? The things that I've given you among many witnesses, commit thou to others. Who would commit thou to faithful men who will commit to others too. That if you find yourself involved in this, you are a faithful witness. Jesus is God. Number two, Jesus is the faithful witness. Back to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Number three, who is Jesus? Revelation 1 verse 5. The next thing John tells us about Jesus, the third information, is that Jesus was the first begotten of the dead. Do you know what this means? Today he's not the only begotten, but as at then he was the first begotten. Jesus was not the first to come back from the dead. There were many people before him who had died, but none of them died for another person. They died for themselves or by themselves. Only Jesus died as a substitute. No other person aside from Jesus died as a substitute. They died either because their time had come or the deterioration that came to them by reason of wearing a mortal body. Jesus did not die because he was sick. Jesus did not die because he was defeated. He died as an exchange. This is what makes him the first. Because if the Bible says he's the first to come back to life, that is not true. Many other people had come back to life. In his lifetime, he himself raised others. But he was the first begotten. Do you know what this means? This is a very powerful information. The first begotten. There's no time to tell you the whole story about him being the first begotten. Remember, for him to truly have been the first begotten, he needed to become seen. That means he was dying as an expression of the entire world in him. And here's how it happened. The whole journey started, and I'm glad that I'm talking to theologians and people who are absolutely intelligent in theology and biblical exegesis. The Anglican Communion is one point of reference that their understanding about the theological basis of the Christian faith is commendable. So I'm not talking to people who are in any way ignorant of this, both from a spiritual and a theological standpoint. Are we together now? Yes. Jesus, for him to begin this entire journey of what we call his passion, the Bible lets us know, I'm explaining very briefly what it means to be the first begotten, because that is a capture of redemption. That statement right there. To understand that he rose from the dead, you have to examine how and why he died. Are we together now? The Bible tells us very clearly, based on the authority of Scripture, that Jesus, wanting to die for the whole world, the first thing he did was a sacrament called the Holy Communion. There are two sacraments, we call it, that Jesus left: the doctrine of baptisms and the communion. Is that true? And the revelation behind the communion was that Jesus sat at table. Listen carefully. Before that time, he had said he was the bread of life. Is that true? And then there were 12 disciples. We need to know how the whole world came into him. They came into him by a theological mystery called the doctrine of interpenetration. It's the mystery by which two entities come into one. The same thing that happens even in marriage. Are we together now? Then he broke this bread, which is himself, and shared it among 12 people. Remember, 12 represents government. So the people there were representing the entire mankind in that covenant of communion. Because a government represents people. Are we together now? And when he broke himself, he gave them and says, take, eat. He says, this is my bread, broken for you. He gave them the cup, they took, and he said, to do this in remembrance of me. Immediately that happened, the next scene was Gethsemane. What happened in Gethsemane? He went there to pray, but more than prayer, for the first time, the Trinity would be divided. Jesus was not crying because he was afraid of dying. He had always said he was going to die, but he could not die with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life, and he could not become the second Adam, because you see, what happened to the first Adam must happen to him to be called the second Adam. What happened to the first Adam? Number one, Adam lost righteousness. Two, he lost dominion. Three, he lost the Spirit of God. That's what made him a fallen man. So Jesus now must lose the Holy Spirit. He must lose righteousness. He must lose dominion to validate that he's the second Adam. Please follow carefully. This is Jesus now. And this time around, he would have to do it willingly. So he prayed and said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup. What was the cup? Death on the cross? No. Separation. Because that's what true death is. The first death that happened to man was separation before mortality caught up. Are we together now? From that point, Jesus became sin. The nature of sin, the Bible tells us. Is that true? And everything Jesus did from that standpoint was a substitutionary activity. That in exchange of everything he went through, they put a crown of thorn on his head in exchange for our dominion that will be restored. His body was bruised in exchange for life and health and healing that will come to us. Are we together now? This looks like it's very basic, but please pay attention. In this basic mystery lies the power of God to save, to heal, and to deliver. Jesus was on his way as a 33-year-old man, naked. Why? Because Adam lost the manifestation of the glory of God. That's how he knew he was naked. His covering was literally the glory of God. Now Jesus had to walk naked. The covering you see in movies is just for social reasons. But Jesus was a naked 33 and a half year old gentleman on his way to Golgotha. Now, he carried the cross. Eventually, he fell. Do you know if Jesus died there on the ground, he would not be a curse? Because according to the Mosaic law, you have to hang on a tree to be a curse. He would have just been a good man who died. And that means he will abort the entire activity of salvation. So he went and he hung upon a tree. When he hung upon a tree, the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? It's not cars and houses. The blessing of Abraham is justification by faith. That is what God gave Abraham as a blessing. Abraham believed God and it was credited unto him for righteousness. So we, like faithful Abraham, when we believe, it is imputed unto us. It is the blessing of Abraham that gives room to what we call the blessing. And the blessing is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles to the end that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Are you following? Am I wasting your time? When Jesus hung upon that cross, it was not the Son of God that was on that cross. No. It was man in his sin. The entire creation was in man. Now, Satan did not know this. This is what the Bible calls the hidden wisdom of God. That if the princes had known, they would have done everything within their power to make sure that Jesus did not die. Watch this. When Jesus died, he gave up the ghost. He did not go to heaven. Because when sinners die, they don't go to heaven. Is that true? So he died. Listen, he died as sin. Hell was rejoicing that Jesus had died. Suddenly a stranger stepped into Hades, the place of the dead. It's in your Bible. Jesus suddenly shows up and went to hell without the assistance of the Holy Ghost. He went to hell with the power of man. Listen carefully. The Holy Ghost was not with him in hell there. Read your Bible. If that same spirit that raised Christ. So he was not there. When he went to hell, listen, the Bible says he shall see the travail of his soul and he shall be satisfied. We're Bible students. If someone steals from you as they give a court verdict, that seems to bring you satisfaction to your heart. Jesus now, instead of man and creation going through it, the Bible lets us know that the entire cohorts of hell were on him. Paul was giving this revelation, forcing him to bow. What is him bowing? Bowing is acknowledging lordship. This was what Satan always wanted. If Jesus is the express image of the invisible God, then if I make him bow, it means that God has submitted to me. Because you see, every creator must receive worship from his creation. The reason why Jesus cannot worship anyone is because he is God. It is a law. You must acknowledge the one who created you. Is that true? So Satan now is forcing Jesus. And the Bible tells us that when the legal claims of justice were full, this is what happened. He made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. Are we together? I'm explaining to you what John saw. And then the moment that happened, he went to Satan himself and said, "Give me the keys." It's in your Bible, Revelations 1 verse 1. "I am he that was dead and now is alive, and I hold the keys." What keys? The keys he collected from Adam. And when he collected the keys, the Bible, your Bible says, he went to Hades, the place of the dead, and preached the gospel to the saints that were there. This is theology. This is scripture. The Bible says they believed in that gospel. Apostle Peter was teaching us. He opened the prison doors and said, "Follow me," together with him. This is Bible. And then he resurrected as the firstborn. Your Bible says the graves were open in Jerusalem and other dead bodies came out and walked around the streets of Jerusalem. Listen them. So when Jesus ascended, he rose up from the dead to defeat that last enemy. It is on the strength of that we can today say, "Oh death, where is your sting? And oh grave, where is your victory?" The hymn writer says, "Up from the grave he arose with the mighty triumph o'er his foes." It says, "He arose the victor from the dark domain. Today he lives forever with his saints to reign." Are we together now? So when the Bible talks about Jesus as the one who was resurrected from the dead, this is what it means. He arose, but did not just stop there. He ascended and went to the tabernacle in heaven as both the high priest and the lamb. Because according to the Old Testament practice, a high priest had to offer blood. Is that true? And he would do that once a year, because the age of the lamb determined the validity of the atonement. Now this ageless lamb drained his blood and went and poured it on that tabernacle. To know how long the atonement lasts is to know the age of the lamb that died. And this lamb that died is ageless, the Ancient of Days. This is what makes our atonement eternal. When he offered that, then the Bible says a coronation service was held to him in heaven. In honor of that victory, the Lord said to my Lord, "Sit down at your right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." This is what Peter was teaching the church in Philippi. That wherefore, by reason of this accomplished victory, God had so highly exalted him and given him an office. And that office is above every other office. That at the mention of that name, this is the revelation you must have when you stand before a sick body. This is the revelation you must have when you stand before the powers that oppress a territory. You are coming in the name. The name means you are partaker of that office. Let's finish up. I want to pray. Revelations 1 verse 5. Who is Jesus? Number one, he is God. Number two, the faithful witness, the one who validated every claim of the Father. Number three, The one who fulfilled the demands of redemption to bring this new creation in Christ, this new species that is neither Greek neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, this one new man in Christ. And then the Bible calls him the begotten of the dead, and then he says he is the prince of the kings of the earth. The word prince there means the ruler. He is the ruler. This is powerful. He is the ruler. That means every other kingdom and every other dominion submits to him. The Bible says he is the head of principalities and powers. That means it does not matter what charm, it does not matter what demonic orchestration, every other power depends on the sun and the moon to walk. But here is one who is the prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus is ruler. He's not a contender with other powers. He rises above them all. Next, very quickly, the Bible says, no, keep verse 5, we're still there. He says the next information about Jesus is that he is him that loved us. Powerful. Jesus is him that loved us. If you have been researching, who is this that loved me so much and gave his life for me? It is Jesus. Him that loved us. Him that loved us. Everybody say, God loves me. Say, Jesus loves me. The Bible says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with my loving kindness. Do you know what it means to abound in the love of God? It is the cure to guilt. It is the cure to a sense of condemnation. I know. So if, for instance, respectfully speaking, if someone comes to talk to me now and says, Apostle, I think God is angry with you, I will tell him, thank you for your prophecy, but I know him. This is the cure to living in fear. There is an idea we have about God, that God is a lion and a fierce God who can kill. It is true, but to who? Every police officer and every military man has children. The children don't run away from him, even though he's a law enforcement officer. It is criminals that run away from law enforcement officers. Just because the man is wearing the uniform of a general will not make the son run away. That general is a general because of criminals. But to me, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Listen, the awareness of the love of God is not a license for licentiousness. However, it gives you boldness and confidence. I walk across the earth with confidence. When the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made, I know it was me he was thinking about. I'm happy I know the one who made the day. The one who made the day loves me. So I know what to expect in my day. I expect victory. I expect favor. Why? Because the Lord made the day. It's not him and Satan that made the day. Satan too depended on him to make the day for him to find expression. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Spirit, he says, let it abide with you. Are we learning something now? Please hear me. If you do not rest in the love of God, there are many things you will not be able to do. You will feel God does not want to anoint you. You will feel God cannot use you. Many people today continue to walk in that revelation. Can God use me? And you look at your background and you say, I'm coming from this place. The love of God. He said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed. Right? In that he made us sons of God. He says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like.
He loves me. I know God loves me. I know God loves me. It gives me confidence because I know what lovers do. Lovers protect. I know what lovers do. Lovers do not hide anything. I know what lovers do. Lovers defend. So when God tells me he loves me, I know the implication of what he's saying. I love you means I am committed to defending you. I love you means I am committed to protecting you. Every true lover is a giver. So when God says he loves me, I know he will not withhold any good thing from me. Help those under the anointing, please. The love of God. This is what brings miracles. When you begin to see miracles, signs and wonders, it is because of the love of Jesus.
Pazanji soroba metemakona metemakona Pazanji kunyapa metemakona metemakona Bazanji soroba metema kona Bazanji kunyaba metema kona.
Sing this song one more time from your heart.
Metema kona metema kona
shivala kapadusiya
metema kona.
Bazanji soroba, Bazanji kunyaba,
Bazanji.
Listen to me. Hear me. I don't care what village, I don't care what locality you came from. Let no man bully you. There are no second-class citizens in Christ. Everyone has been called. Listen. Apostle, I may not be able to speak English well. I tell you, God can lift you from where you are. If you know that this Jesus is the one who loved you. My life is a testimony that he can pick you from anywhere. There are men and women of God scattered here. God wants to use you, but you are not aware of the love of Christ. And so you think he's for other people. Those in America, those in England. Chalingo, I bring you a word. There is nothing God is doing across the earth that he cannot do in your city. The same Lord is rich unto all. When you respect men and you honor men, it should not be to the detriment of your confidence.
Bazanji soroba
metemakona.
Bazanji kunyaba
metemakona.
Our time is up. Just give me this scripture. I want to pray for the sick now. Unto him who is Jesus, him that washed us from our sins with his own blood. There are not three people who washed with their blood. There is only one person. Every preacher is only advocating the one. No reverend, nobody washed any saint with his blood. We are only advocates of the one who washed us from our sins. Can I tell you this? When you know that Jesus washed us from our sins, there is no sin, the Bible says, that the blood of Jesus could not wash. It was a thorough work. That means this becomes the basis of coming to receive Jesus Christ. That no matter how dark your sins are, no matter what it is, the devil can make you know that you are the worst criminal, but there is one who washed you. Ask Abraham the adulterer. Ask Paul the killer while he was Saul. The Bible is full of men and women who look like they could not be accepted. But when Jesus comes, he's patient enough to wash it with his blood and give you a new beginning. Why am I saying this? Mama, there is hope for your son.
Yau yana shengia ama ubangiji is able to pick him and make him become a man of God tomorrow. There is hope for your daughter. She may be running around and not serious with God, but don't give up. There is one who can wash men. Man of God, when you know this, you do not conclude on anyone. While you are laughing at people, God is already cleansing them. It's true that Jesus died, but he only died for 3 days. He didn't die forever. While you are talking about the Jesus who died, he is now back to life already. Listen, this is the reason why we can stand, and when we make altar calls, it does not matter who comes. They are all welcome. He washed us from our sins with his blood. Number six, he hath made us kings and priests unto God. Who is Jesus? The one who enthroned us. He did not just die for us and leave us there. The Bible says when he went up, we were also raised with him. Hallelujah. We were raised with him. We are not a defeated people. Please hear me, people of God. Hear me, Jalingo. We are not a defeated people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, but we are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. He calls us a royal priesthood. It says we are an holy nation, a peculiar people. It says we are sent to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that mean? That when you know Jesus, you know him not just as the one who died for you, but the one who can raise you up to be effective in ministry, can raise you up to be effective as a priest and as a king. Tomorrow we'll take the two other aspects as I share with you something else. But we have been raised. Revelations 5 verse 10. We have been made unto our God kings and priests. And our jurisdiction is the earth. Do you know what this means? Jalingo, please look at me. He said we should reign on earth. That means we have the power to insist that only the counsel of God prevails over our territory. This is what it means to reign on earth. That if there is anything that is not consistent with the ways of God, authority is vested on us as God's church. You know why I'm saying this? We live in a time and a dispensation where economically, politically, and otherwise, people think the church is just a sect of people with a spiritual belief. We were mandated to be the caretakers of this side of God's kingdom, and that when we speak, there is a throne in heaven that backs what we are saying. We are not empty talkers as preachers. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We have been made unto our God kings and priests. Who is Jesus? The one who has made all this possible. Do you know this Jesus? I'm not saying have you preached for him. I'm not saying do you attend a church that worships him. I'm not saying were you named by a name that came from a book he wrote. That's not what I'm asking you. Do you know God in the person of Jesus? Do you know the faithful witness who represented the Father so well? Do you know this one who went through the streets of Jerusalem, Jericho, went about doing good and went up Golgotha?
You laid aside your majesty, gave of everything for me, suffered at the hands of those you have created. You took all my guilt and shame when you died and rose again. Now today you reign in heaven and now exalted. I really want to worship you, my Lord. You have won my heart and I am yours. Forever and ever, I will love you.
You are the only one who died for me, gave your life to set me free. So I lift my voice to you in adoration. Jesus, the epicenter of the Christian faith. Jesus, the foundation of and for ministry. Jesus, no matter what we preach, no matter what we do, if Jesus is out of the equation, believe me when I tell you we are wasting our time. The assignment of the anointing is to defend every claim you make about Jesus. And if there is no claim, then the anointing has no ministry. Jalingo, tonight I present to you Jesus, not the founder of a religious movement. Jesus, not a Jew that walked upon the streets of Galilee and Jerusalem. I present to you the one who has been exalted today as Lord and Christ. I also present to you the one who is the soon coming King. I present to you the one who ordained every one of these vessels unto honor that sit today. I present to you the captain of our faith. This is the one we live and we die for. It is because of him we wake up in the morning. It is because of him we sleep late at night. It is because of him we have a building project. It is because of him we want to prosper. It is because of him we want the sick healed. It is because of him today we can rejoice that we are heaven bound and have no fear of hell. Very quickly, before I pray for the sick, we'll have some time, just a few minutes, 5-10 minutes, we're done. I want to make an altar call. I came here tonight with a serious passion. You want to see territorial revivals. You want to see miracles sweep the streets of Jalingo. Return Jesus, not as a doctrine, but as the living Christ. Return him back to the pulpit. Return him back to our crusade grounds. Return him back to our sermons. Let everything be centered around Jesus. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Scattered here in this wonderful auditorium and outside, and many who might be following online from any nation of the world, are men and women who, whilst listening to me talk about Jesus, you were surprised that you may have been a worker in church, but you do not know Jesus. Listen to me. Until men experience Jesus, any and every territory is in trouble, will remain victims of the assaults of darkness. The gospel is the revelation of Jesus. An expression of the love of the Father in and through his substitutionary sacrifice. Man and creation being the object of that sacrifice. I want to make an altar call. There are many people outside. There are others inside. You are here and you are saying, Apostle, in this great conference turned crusade, I need Jesus and I need him now. And there are others who are saying, Apostle, I think I have had an experience with Jesus, but as it is, my life has gone haywire. I'm tired of playing religion. I want to mean business with him. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Wherever you are, I want you to run like there's fire on the mountain and come and stand in front here as we celebrate them. Are you ready?
Everyone who is coming to Jesus, run to him. One, Jalingo, are you celebrating harvest? Inside, outside, just run and come and stand. Shift back a bit so they can have a bit of space. Don't kneel, just stand so that there will be space. Two, run to Jesus. Win that war tonight.
Samurai Kabani Nina
Kote. Come.
Cheto Kabani Nagode.
Are you coming? Three, outside, inside, run to Jesus. Are you coming? Run to Jesus. I'm about to pray for you. Run to Jesus.
Sujada nena ke. Kotia nena ke. Sujada nena ke. Kotia nena ke.
Here's a part I like. That's what is happening to you now. Now all of you who are in front, look at me. A counselor is giving you a slip. Just quietly collect it. Let's have some officials to help so we'll make it faster. Just receive your slip while looking at me. I want to lead you to Jesus. Listen, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his then only begotten son, but today the first begotten of we the brethren, that whosoever believes in him, including you, should not perish, is a law, but to have everlasting life. I salute you for coming to make this decision. Lift your right hand, every one of you who is standing here. Lift your right hand. I want you to pray this loud. I want you to pray it clear. Let it be with every sense of passion in your heart. Jesus is here. Say after me, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. I acknowledge that I cannot help myself, that I cannot save myself. But I thank you that you died for me and you rose again for my justification. Tonight, consciously, I make Jesus my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I receive the abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, and I declare that I reign in this life. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From today, I live victoriously. Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, I present to you the ones Jesus died for. According to the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven.
And I declare that he gives you a new beginning. You are recipients of eternal life, even the life of God. And right now, I commend you to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Word. And I decree and declare that you will reign. You will reign from today. The power of sin is broken over your life. In the name of Jesus, from today and forever, you walk in victory. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, we have a few minutes, and please let me encourage the counselors or those who will be attending to them. Please just make it fast so that they can come. I want them to join the prayer that I'm about to pray. All of you in concert who are in front here, please just move straight to my right, which is your left, as we celebrate them. Jalingo, let's celebrate them. Move to my right, which is your left. Very quickly, they'll have a word with you and you'll be back to your seat. Please, counselors, let's make it as snappy as possible. Let's celebrate them. Are you celebrating them? Celebrate them as they go very quickly. Can we celebrate salvation? Are you celebrating salvation? Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, please, I don't know how we'll do it, but even though they are outside, just pay attention to me, all of you who are going. I just want to pray one prayer, just 2-3 minutes and we're done. I don't intend to take our time. Please do not miss tomorrow's service, all of the services, whatever sacrifice you have to make. I will be sharing along the lines of God's glory. I believe that in this conference, there will be all kinds of impartations, all kinds of manifestations of the power and the grace of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Just lend me 2 or 3 more minutes. I apologize, and then we're done for the night. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Please bring me 3 people. The power of God is coming on 3 people now as I speak. I want you to please bring them outside. I want to speak to them. There are 3 people. I may not have that time to minister. 3 of them right now. There's a strong anointing. Bring them out. You came for a conference to experience the power of God. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power. I want to speak over their lives.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Hallelujah. Listen. Now, let me say this. I know that here and there have been abuses of spiritual things. There are people who have done all kinds of things in the name of the power of God, in the name of the prophetic. But I want you to understand that there are people who have had genuine experiences with the God of the Bible and love Jesus with all their hearts. And God is restoring afresh again. Because there are some of you who are watching me, this grace is why God brought you here. That you will carry something that is of substance. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Who is Yahaya? I'm hearing a name, Yahaya. Is there someone with such a name? Just give me 5 minutes and we're done. I'm hearing a name, Yahaya. Is there someone with such a name? I just want to talk to you very quickly. Yahaya, is there someone like that? Please, very quickly, let me just minister to that person and we'll be seated. Yahaya, I'm hearing a name, Amos. Who is Amos? Amos. Amos. Is there such a person with a name like that? Amos. Where are you from? Huh? What do you do? Okay. Is there a mic?
I'm not here. Yes.
Are you a pastor?
Yes, sir.
What do you do?
I'm a pastor, sir.
Because the Lord wants to change your life.
Amen.
To turn your life around. I don't
Amen.
Know you. I've never seen
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Who is Amos?
I'm the one, sir.
Amos.
Yes, sir.
I'm hearing the name Yahaya again. The Lord is... Please don't bring people out at random. No. Please. Pastor, you believe in the power of God?
Yes, sir.
Stand up. Your life will never be the same.
Amen. Amen.
You pastor your own church, your own assembly?
Yes, sir.
Can I pray for you?
Amen. Yes.
Father, I stretch my hands in the name of Jesus Christ. You will never be the same again.
Amen.
Let this anointing not only come upon you, but turn your ministry around.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Just near the wall there, the power of God is coming on one of you. Please bring that person. Just that place. I just saw light right there. There's one of you that the power of God is coming on. And the Lord by it is bringing an encounter to your life. A very solid encounter. Please bring the person out. And I'm seeing one lady too. Is this a choir? Bring them. End time ministry must not only be a ministry that teaches a Jesus that cannot be proven. We must demonstrate the reality of the power and the grace of God. Let me speak to that man. Please shift. I curse every devil in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare over this man, let him go now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I bring you life and I bring you victory. In the name of Jesus. Bring for me the lady that shouts now under the anointing, loud to the hearing of everybody. Please bring her. Please don't miss any part of this conference. God is bringing deliverance and healing even to the territory. This is not just some showmanship. We are matured people who fear Jesus and love the Lord. There's one person, the power of God, a lady. Loud right now. Please bring the person. Therefore, let all Israel know that this one, Jesus, has been exalted as both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is showing me a woman. 3 years, you've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb. It comes to an end. Now, I curse that spirit. Out, now. Stand to have your child, my dear. Bazanji kunyaba.
Mete makona.
Mete makona.
Bazanji kunyaba.
Mete makona.
Hallelujah.
My time.
Hallelujah. Sir, can I talk to you? This man. What do you do, sir? This tall man. What do you do, sir?
Civil servant and an evangelist.
Please come. I am seeing the hand of God come on you. I'm seeing you organize crusades. I don't know you, sir. What is your name? He's from this place. I'm seeing from Jos.
Let me tell you, do not look down on what. Do you know about a man in Jos that they used to call Baba Paul Gindiri? There is a grace from that man and there is a mantle that will come on you. What does he do?
He is the council chairman, National Institute for Policy and Strategic Studies, but he goes out for evangelism.
Thank God for the diplomatic function, but there is a grace upon you. Can I pray for you? Step into this grace. Step into this anointing. You will never be the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jalingo, God is bringing you visitation. Whose wife is this? Come. The Lord is changing your life. Do you have a child? Give him the mic, please. Do you have a child? How long? How many years? 3 years.
Yes,
what do you do?
I'm a student and a businessman.
Go and write it. Your wife will have a baby boy. In the name of Jesus Christ, here at this conference, I command every devil to go now. In the name of Jesus. Listen, when miracles happen like this, they don't just show that a man of God is powerful. The agenda is bigger than a man. The agenda is the revelation of Jesus. We must keep correcting these things, because these are some of the mistakes we make around. When the power of God comes, now we substitute the place of letting Jesus be glorified. This is why God is helping us to correct it. That you can see such a spectacular display of the power and the grace of God, but in the midst of it, we know that Jesus is the one to be glorified. How many years have you been trusting God? No. This is, I'm seeing 3 years. Megiren Kinana? You said 3 years.
Yes,
I'm seeing 4 years. So.
4 years. November is Antica, 4 years.
No child.
No child.
But you had a dream. And you saw yourself holding,
yes,
something
ma'am.
Will happen and you miscarry.
Yes,
stand up. Your life is about to change, eh? In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Living God. Here at this conference, Jesus be revealed in the life of this woman. Now, I decree and declare. Shout Jesus as loud as you can.
Jesus!
That's the end of it. Go and have your child. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Living God. Please listen. Listen. We're going to be praying for the sick. I know many of you may have heard. You know that I had the honor and the privilege of going through a system of mentorship from Archbishop Benjamin Kwashi. So the Anglican is a family for me. Nazo Gidane. But one thing I can tell you is there is a mighty revival that is happening. First in the Anglican communion, but then it's spreading across the globe. And I honor the Lord for the sensitivity of the servants of God. What God is doing. Hallelujah. One of the things that I trust that will happen is that there will be such an impartation of grace, a transference of these graces. Because I know some of you here have ministries. This is a meeting for the body of Christ, only organized by the Anglican Communion. There are pastors here, there are prophets here, there are some of you have worked with God, but you are trusting God for grace for a new level. Prayer groups here. Apostolic and prophetic platforms. Some of you in the worship ministry, it's time for you to open your heart and receive. Don't waste this opportunity. Make this sacrifice. Some of you are politicians, people in government, and so on and so forth. Please, whatever it will take, I'd like you to go around your community and tell them Jalingo is having a visitation. If there is no space, if you can climb the zinc seat there, let there be an encounter. We have a session tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning there is a session. And then the night session, I trust that by the grace of God, the night session will be a dedicated time for a miracle service where we'll have the opportunity to pray for the sick. We'll have the opportunity to lift Jesus, and there will be such an impartation of graces. Some of you will be stepping into your callings, the gifts of the Spirit, the hand of God upon your life. Hallelujah. Please do not miss out on this opportunity. Do not miss out on this opportunity.
Let me just speak to the last person and we are done. Who is Rifkatu? I'm hearing a name, Rifkatu. Who is Rifkatu? Rifkatu, is there someone with that name? Rifkatu, I want to pray for you right now. Rifkatu, you are wearing like a blue head tie. You are not very tall. Is there someone like that? What's your name?
Rifkatu.
You are from this place?
Yes.
I want to pray for you. I stop an accident I'm seeing of a prominent politician in this city. I'm seeing the Lord is, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm seeing this city mourning a prominent politician, and that is an accident, a car capsizing and just dying. In the name of Jesus, because of this conference, we are averted by the Spirit of God. We avert it even by the Spirit of the living God. You see why it's good for politicians and all kinds of people to join meetings like this? Because you don't know when God will send your word and set you. In the presence of God, there is no big man, there is no small man. You come before God with your heart open to receive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rifkatu, I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. May the Lord... They will not tell you that you have something growing in your stomach. I rebuke every devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring her. Let me just touch her. Hold on. Just in Jesus' name. Be free now. Let it be over. In Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Lift your hands. Let's round up for tonight. Father, we thank you for bringing glory to the name of Jesus. The power of God is coming on one man of God. I don't know why this is now. One man of God. I'm seeing a man of God. Someone just among the first two or three rows here. I just saw that light. One man of God. I don't know why I'm seeing this. I thought maybe this will be tomorrow, but I'm seeing... Are you a man of God? What do you do? Huh?
I'm a pastor, an Anglican priest.
An Anglican priest. Sir, please lift your hand. Can I pray for you? I'm seeing fire coming on you right now. Take that grace. In the name of Jesus, you will never be the same. Never be the same. Never be the same. As an Anglican priest, you will step into levels of accuracy in doctrine backed up by signs and wonders. I bless you. Jalingo, hear the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we declare tonight a night of supernatural encounters. Many of you will go to bed and you will have dreams, prophetic dreams, encounters with Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every spiritual laxity, laziness, for some of you, your passion for God has gone down. In the name of Jesus, in this conference, it fans back to flames. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And for many of you, you will go home and meet a plethora of testimonies waiting for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I supply grace for you for tomorrow morning, grace for you for tomorrow evening. In the mighty and even the matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.